How you all doing today? Good. All right. Me too. Pretty good. It's kind of weird to have this this thing here. Cuz I don't need it. Now I'm used to not have anything, so I preach from my iPhone instead of having a computer. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. So, today I'm going to be talking about seeing yourself as God sees you. And it's been a a reoccurring theme for me just the past week. I think I keep talking about it with everyone just because God brought it back to the surface when I was in Mexico. That's always been a theme really close to my heart. And whenever we do an encounter, that's always the topic I want to teach. So I inspired myself from the encounter notes, really made it mine. But already the encounter notes, it's pretty much, it feels like I wrote it, because it's so my heart to just bring God's people to see themselves as God sees them, because it's so crucial, it's so vital. And I'm going to explain more why a little bit later on. When we started Midtown, that was 3 years ago, believe it or not, I remember very clearly the first time I spoke. I stood here, or I think we were there, yeah. And I could not think straight for all the tormenting thoughts I had of what people were thinking of me. It was really, really bad. Like, I could not follow a train of thought. Like, even though I had my notes, and I was writing down my notes, like, pretty much line for line, what I was going to say. It was like I was writing an essay, and then I would preach it, because I was so scared of losing my train of thoughts, because all those just thoughts from that I thought were from people bombarding me. So I'd be standing there, and I kept hearing those things like, oh, who does she think she is preaching there today? Like, oh, she has no right to say this, or she, you know, it was just ridiculous. And I really thought those were the people's thoughts. Like, I really, really believed it. I was like, yeah, like, what am I doing here? Am I really called to do this? Like, it was just, I was double guessing myself so much and doubting my calling, and it was really paralyzing me, really. And that was not only when I was in front of people, but in my relationships too, like with my friends. If something would happen, I'd be like always blaming me and just believing all kinds of lies about myself. It's so easy, it seems, to just blame yourself all the time and think that you're not lovable, that you're not worthy of friendship, that you're not this and that. And so yeah, it's really a message close to my to my heart to really free us from that, because it's an awful feeling to feel like you have no right to be where you're supposed to be, really. Because God called me to be here. God called me to do this. And there should be nothing holding me back, and especially not lies from the enemy. And I think all of us at some level struggle with identity at some point in our lives. And there's certain situations, like for me to be in front of people, that will really bring to light those things. So I don't know what it is for you. It could be at work, all of a sudden you're put on the spot, or you have to do something outside of the your comfort zone, and all of a sudden you're like, you know, you're double guessing who you are, the right you have to say certain things, certain people, your authority, all those things. So let's just go into that. So it's kind of sad that we can live our whole life not really knowing who we are and living according to what other people think of us, what our parents told us we were. And for some of us, that's quite, it's not really good. We can live our whole life according to what society dictates, our culture. And sometimes we don't really realize that we don't know who we are until, again, we're put out of our comfort zone. I think for me, it really started when I moved here. Because I didn't have my friends, I didn't have my family, I didn't have my language, my culture to define me. So all of a sudden, I was taken out of that, and I was like, who am I? I felt so out of place. I felt so out of my, you know, I was like, I want my friends. They know who I am. And then I realized I want them with me because I don't know who I am. They make me feel like I know who I am. But I don't, because if I knew what defines me, then I wouldn't be needing their affirmation. And so it really started a journey that brought so much freedom. Seriously, I want all of us to experience it. And I was really questioning myself when I was preparing this, like, why is it so important to know who we are? And it sounds a little bit like, I mean, we talk about people that have a low self-esteem and are, you know, shy and timid and, that's not me. And I wouldn't have described myself as someone that had a low self-esteem and didn't know who they were, because on the outside I seemed really confident. And even my husband was like, you seem like a person that just is so confident and sure, so sure of yourself. And I was like, no, you have no idea. And just to come back to the example I was giving of when we started preaching and we were put in that place that was really out of my comfort zone. There was one afternoon in particular where I remember I had, that was the first time I think I preached by myself, because the first time Jay and I were preaching together. And the whole afternoon I had to go for a walk and by myself and just like try to get out of that mindset that I was beating myself up. I was just so tormented. I was like, oh no, I messed up so bad and I'm not meant to be there. And I was just believing all those lies. And I was like, I just need to go for a walk. Seriously, like I cannot function. It's that paralyzing. So I really want us to get free and from all those lies and really know who we are in Christ before. If you haven't got to that place yet that God puts you out of your comfort zone and you're like, ah! I want to avoid you guys getting there because it's an awful feeling. And Jesus died that we might have life to the fullest. He wants us so much to have life to the fullest that he died for that. And when you believe all kinds of lies about yourself and it paralyzes you like it did me, you're not living life to the fullest, trust me. It feels like death. It really does. Oh, I hate that feeling. I just want to shake it off. Just thinking about it. And even I mentioned an example in ministry, but in your family life with your friends, when you don't know who you are, you become that needy person. Can you think of a needy person around you that it just feels like, ah, why do you keep bugging me? Like you just feel that it's like a leech? Yeah. Because like I was explaining how when I was taking away from my friends and that affirmation they had on me, you become like that, please affirm me, please tell me who I am, please give me love, please make me feel like I'm lovable. So without realizing it, you become that needy person. And I don't know, like instead of letting people and other things, lies, defining ourselves, let's ask God what he thinks of us this morning. Ephesians 1 verses 4 and 5 in the Message says, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. That just makes me smile. What pleasure he took in planning this. That we be made whole and holy by his love. And in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 to 31, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. About everything else, he said it was good. But about you, he said it was very good. Very good. Very good. I don't know if you ever looked at those beautiful flowers. My mom has some of them in her garden. They're lilies. There's all kinds of lilies, but I don't know what kind they are. I think they're Asian lilies, I think. Anyways, they're so beautiful. I have a lot of pictures of them on my computer. And yesterday, it's actually one of my desktop pictures. And I was just looking at it. And I was like, wow, like the colors, the shades, the shape, everything was so perfect. And I was like, God, you made that. You're so creative. And then I just felt like he reminded me of this verse that, yeah, he created the whole universe, but then he created you and I, and he said it was very good. He thinks you're more beautiful than that flower I'm talking about. That's just so amazing. Like he's so creative. He created all those things, and then he created each of us different, each of us unique. And sometimes we'll look at other people and we'll be like, "Oh, I wish I was like that." Or, you know, comparison is a sin, really, because God created you just perfect the way you are. He wanted you that way. And if you're an artist, or if you know any artists, you'll know that an artist never makes one thing the same. It's boring to make one thing the same. It's actually impossible, but it'd be boring. But God took pleasure in making every single trait in you, in your personality, in your body, everything about you. He took pleasure in making everything individual, everything unique. And he said it was very good. Now, today is Mother's Day, right? And at first I was going to talk about the mother heart of God, but it's kind of intertwined in this. Because God has a mother's heart as well. We always talk of God as a father, which he is, but he also created mothers. So the mother heart is inside of him, because he created mothers in his own image. So all the compassion, the unconditional love, the nurturing that mothers have in an imperfect way, he has, and he's perfect in it. So let's think of God as, even though, you know, you don't want to picture God as a mother, but just the mother characteristics, okay? Let's think of that today. And just like a mother, because he made us, and I mean, I'm a mom, I didn't make my kids, he made them, but I look at them with so much love, they came out of me, it's like, it's amazing. But even more so, God looks at each one of you today and has that mother kind of love. Like, just, I love you so much. It's just so amazing. He never looks at us with disgust, like we can sometimes look at ourselves. He always looks at us with just perfect love. I don't know if your mom ever looked at you, or you might not know that she looked at you in that way, but just in awe. Like, sometimes I just look at my kids, just, wow, you're just so beautiful. You're just so ridiculously beautiful. You know, and he looks at us that way. He's in awe of you. He's in awe of what he created. You are very good. You're a reflection of his beauty, of his intelligence, of his creativity. You're a reflection of him. He made you in his image. Okay, so I think starting to bug you inside. I know sometimes when I read stuff like that, I'm like, yeah, sure. Because there's just something that doesn't settle quite right in our hearts when we hear those things. It just doesn't seem to stick, even though you want it to and you know you need it. It just, like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to believe. Like, your head believes it, but your heart is like, yeah, sure. Move on. Now, let's read Psalm 139 together and just pray that the truth sinks in this morning. Because I don't want just a teaching. I don't like teaching, if you know me. I like making people cry. I said it. I just love when I see transformation. You know, when we talk after and you share with me, like, oh, that just touched me so much, and you just took one sentence that I said and it transformed you. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm up here for. Even though you don't shed a tear, okay? It's okay. You don't have to cry. Okay. Psalm 139. I'm an open book to you, even from a distance. You know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I looked behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. And if I go underground, you're there. You'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness is in dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I'm marvelously made. So, I'm not done, but I just want to ask you to say this one with me. Body and soul, I'm marvelously made. So let's say that again together. Body and soul, I'm marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how wonderful, how beautiful. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Isn't that beautiful? When you feel down and you feel like you're just not worth anything, just read that. That should fix any self-esteem problem. That God's thoughts for us are outnumbered the sand of the sea. That's just, wow. He thinks of you that much. And he created you because he wants to love you. So why is it so hard to believe that we're lovable just the way we are? Any idea? Sin against us, yep. Very good. Anything else? Rejection, sorry? Our sin, yep. Limited vision. True. Yeah. Because with all those things, Satan wants to keep us from having a good relationship with our Father in heaven and everyone around us. He wants to keep us from enjoying life. And right from the beginning of our lives, he tries to convince us that there's something inherently wrong with us. And unfortunately, for a lot of us, we've been wounded by our parents speaking negative words over us and things that have become who we think we are. Now, I have news for you. God will bring light to those lies, expose them and get rid of them and take them out of you. There's things I've believed about myself my whole life, and then God showed me, no, this isn't actually part of you. This isn't you. This is not how I made you. And I was like, but God, like, my parents told me that's what I was. No. And so my prayer today is that God will highlight things inside of you that are lies, that God can just shed his light on those things right now, and that we can get free from those lies and believe the truth about ourselves. Because the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I was thinking, you know, how many destinies have been aborted because people didn't believe they were who God said they were? How many people lived their whole life as a Christian, not receiving God's love, not receiving the abundant life, not receiving the kingdom life for them because they didn't believe they were worthy? That's so sad. You know, Jesus died. He died for us to get this. How can we just sit there and think, oh, I'm so unworthy, I'm so this and that, and then not receive all this stuff that he bought through his death for us? He longs to give it to us. So let's get rid of those lies that keep us from receiving it. God is always speaking his love and affirmation to us. But unfortunately, Satan will seize every opportunity he has to speak negativity into us and make us doubt that God can love us unconditionally. That's a big one. But we can ask God to show us where those lies came in. And God the Father, with also a mother heart in him, can comfort and heal our hearts from all negative experiences about our identity. Because he wants us to live in the truth. And like I said earlier, the truth sets us free. Oh, man. Just when I think, I'm not all the way there, but I've been free to a certain measure where I can stand here and not be tormented anymore. Praise the Lord. Like, it's bondage. It's really bondage to believe lies about yourself. The truth will set you free. So here are some ways that we just mentioned, but I just mentioned them again, because I want God to keep highlighting things. Here are some ways that our identity can become hurt and distorted. So through bad experiences, people's words, criticism, jokes at our expense, people's actions, disappointments, accidents, labels, yep. Labels in the school when you were young, if you were, Jay's probably mentioning that, if you were put in a learning disabled class or what do you call it, behavior problems, those kind of things. Like, you know, we like to put labels on people, don't we? But God just wants to remove all those. Praise God. All these things break down the God identity that you have. And then we drift further away from our true identity and attempt to cover up the lie we have begun to believe that we are unlovable. So let's ask God for the truth. So if God just showed you some things that you believe about yourself that are lies because of people's words, because of just negative experiences, because of hurts, whatever it might be, let's just ask him right now for the truth. And if you're writing down stuff, I really wanted to bring pens and papers, but I forgot. That'd be a really good time to write it down. But let's just close our eyes and just take that moment with God to just let the Holy Spirit highlight some lies so we can get rid of them. Now, if it's a person that spoke negative words over you, you will need to forgive them. So let's just ask God for the truth to replace that lie. And a lot of times the enemy will attack you, your identity, in the very area that God made you strong. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just stay in that place of just with Holy Spirit ministering to your heart. Romans 8 says, God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. I just love what Grace said yesterday, that Jesus knew only two things, which the second thing we don't know, but the first thing he knew is that he was loved. And that's the thing that we need to know the most, that we're loved, that we're God's children, that we're sons and daughters. We cannot get the inheritance he has for us if we don't walk this earth knowing we're sons and daughters, because the inheritance that he gave us as a father is for his sons and daughters. So if you walk like an orphan, like you don't have a father, you can't get that inheritance. Just simply because you don't believe you are who God says you are. So Just before we go further, I really want us to be real with each other and be a family here. So, instead of me pointing someone out, is there someone that's willing to just stand and share a truth about themselves that you've had a hard time believing until now? But, you know, just make a stand and say, this is who I am. Just like God just revealed this truth to you. Any willing one? Worthy? Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. Amen. You're worthy. Anyone else that's game to stand? Grace, did God show you something? She believed the lie that her words have no value. And what did God say? God told her that what she says and what she carries is important. That's so true. Seriously, like it can look like we're just talking about little things here, but those things affect us to the core of our being. And it affects our whole life. It affects everything. Our family life, our relationships. It affects your destiny in God. I mean, if she believes that God, that what she says doesn't matter, how will she ever become the amazing woman of God, prophet, evangelist, teacher, missionary that God created her to be? And I mean, God's not so much interested in what we're going to do, but he created those, he made those works for us to do, for us to flourish in, for us to have an abundant life in. It's not about doing the stuff, but it's more about the fact that he wants us to flourish, you know, like that beautiful flower and be who we're meant to be. Anyone else wants to share? This is fun. You're like, yeah, don't pick me. Anyone else? No? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Right. Well, God, I just pray right now that you show Richard your truth about himself. That you just show him that you speak his language. That he doesn't have to get used to something he's not comfortable with, but you speak his language. You made him. You know how his heart, his spirit, his whole being is formed because you made him. So I pray right now that you speak to him in a way that he can understand. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is good stuff. So, Gwen, if you can come up. Yes. Sorry?
It was
There's a hand. Go for it. Yeah. Oh, amazing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That is so good. God showed her she's a daughter. That's amazing. When I was in Mexico and we were doing the fire tunnels, there's this lady that kept going through with her, holding her baby just so close to her, and she kept kissing her baby, and she was just, you know, just so in love with her baby. And God just showed me that he was holding her the same way that she was holding her baby. And so, but yet she just seemed so insecure, so unsure of herself, you know, just, she just felt like, you could see that she felt like she had no right to be there, you know, to even exist. And so I was like, God is holding you the same way you're holding your baby. You're just as precious, even more to him, that this baby is to you. And she was just like, really? It was so precious. She just started crying. And, you know, just that was so healing to her. And it's the truth. Like, we're not making up stories here. It's true. We're his kids. And he's the perfect dad. He's the perfect mother heart. So today, if as a kid, you know, especially you, because I know it's Mother's Day and sometimes it's really sensitive for some people. I know it wasn't for me until God showed me I did have mother issues. And he showed me that I lacked the nurturing of a mother when I was a kid, because I had to be strong for my mom. I had to be my mom's friend, and I didn't really have a place as a daughter because I had to be strong for her. And so one time I was soaking and someone just started just stroking my back, and it just brought up so many things. I was like, wow, my mom never did that. Just that, you know, nurturing, that affection. And God was just showing me that he is that to me as well. He's everything. Everything that you've ever needed, he is. So if you feel today like your heart is very raw because it's Mother's Day and you're just not, you know, you've had hurtful experiences with your mom, or sometimes, you know, our moms were really, really good, but I mean, they're not perfect. God wants to heal all those places where our identity was not affirmed, or even where our identity was destroyed through negative words. So let's just let his mother and father heart minister to us this morning. If you need to come to the front and get some prayer, please do so. We'd love to pray with you. You're also welcome to just stay in your seat and receive. But just remember, you are worthy to receive everything he has for you. You are his beloved child.
Well, hi guys. The Bible says love is patient. Love is kind. Right? Love does not always insist on its own way. It's never happy with the wrong, but it's happy with the truth. Does that remind you of someone or something? Mothers. And so God, he wants to show today our his patience side, his kind side. He wants to show us his love. And he is not happy with the wrong. Maybe someone said to you, you're bad. Or that, in my case, it was always, you're stupid. You're not smart enough. Maybe in Alma, it was a case of you're not rich enough. Maybe it's not you're not beautiful enough or coordinated enough. And that's not the truth. That's the wrong. And love is happy with the truth because love says that you are smart enough. It says you are beautiful enough. Love says that you were created in the image of an almighty God who is perfect in every way. And that's how God sees you. He sees you in a light that is the same as the light of Jesus Christ. And they say Jesus Christ, not say, but Jesus Christ was and is God, the image of God, and God himself. Not that we are gods, but we were made in his image. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes. He comes to make us into the image of Christ by revealing to us the truth. The truth about God's love for mankind. And that truth will set us free. Really free. Free from shame. Free from bitterness. Free from disappointment. Free from hurt. Free from discouragement. Free from disillusionment. Whoa. So, if you want that kind of freedom, just worship God. Just put your hands out. And I just want you to ask God to help you receive whatever it was. That you felt like you didn't get enough of. Catherine Coleman. Her hands were burnt and she had no fingerprints. And they didn't look very nice. But because of the fact that the glory was on her hands, people would always come up to her and tell her how beautiful her hands were. Even though she had an accident when she was a kid and it totally wiped her hands clean. And her hands were all burnt. But nobody saw the burntness. All they saw was the glory. And I just feel that the Lord, some of us right now, the Lord is wanting to cover us with his wings. The Bible says that the Lord comes and he covers us with his wing as a mother hen covers his chicks in a storm. So we're just going to receive like children. I am smart enough. I am good enough. I was made in his image, so I'm beautiful enough. Someone keeps saying, I'm not qualified. Yes, you are. You're qualified. Someone keeps saying, I'm not qualified. Okay, you're not qualified. Yes, you are. God equips the called. Ha. And I just believe right now that God just wants to give you a big hug. He wants to show you his patience. He wants to show you his kindness. Ha. He wants to give you his truth. That you would not receive that which is wrong anymore, but you would go forward in that which is right. And some of you he's called you to peace. Somebody says, I just can't find peace. I just can't find peace. Well, the Lord says, here, I am your peace. Some of you, he's called to be in joy, even though joy just seems so far away. Even in suffering. Ha. We're just going to receive God's peace, God's joy, God's love, God's goodness as he covers us. Like a mother covering up her chicks. Because he is good. And his love endures. Just like a mother's love endures. And he wants to redeem that which the enemy has stolen from us. Which is our identity in Jesus Christ. You will do greater works than he did on this earth. You will walk and not grow weary. Some people are saying, I don't have the strength. Okay. You will walk and not grow weary. You will run and not grow faint. The Lord will raise you up on wings as an eagle.